The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
This is Victoria Porter. I am a licensed clinical social worker, and you're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies to help you stay healthy, Hot Springs. Today in the studio, I'd like to welcome Rush Fentress.
That's right.
Okay, said it correctly. From Garvin Gardens. He is the Director of Education.
Thank you for having me here this morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, wonderful. We're certainly glad to have you to talk about all the amazing things that are happening at Garvin Gardens. Love it out there. It's just beautiful, especially in springtime, which now we're kind of transitioning into the summer months where it's getting a little hotter, right?
It is getting a little hotter, but I guess that's the great thing about the shade and plants. They provide a nice evaporative cooling scenario, and so it really is a great way, even as the temperatures increase, to stay cool and still get outside.
Absolutely. So let's just tell our listeners just a little basic information about Garvin Gardens, if you want to start there.
Yeah, that sounds great. So Garvin Woodland Gardens is the Botanic Garden of the University of Arkansas. Not everyone is aware of that.
Right.
We are actually housed within the Fay Jones School of Architecture and Design in Fayetteville. And so we have that unique affiliation with the university, although while not on their campus, great support and assets in that regard. We're located just off of Carpenter Dam Road, so just outside of town, and we're on 210 beautiful acres out there. We are open from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. every day, except for a few holidays that were closed, and then the month of January. And so we'll be open the rest of the summer and welcoming guests for the rest of the year.
Wonderful. For people who aren't familiar with the grounds, there are paths, right, to walk on?
Yes, there are paths. And just to give folks who have never seen it a little idea of the layout, just to take you back a little bit, the original property owner was Arthur Cook, and it was 400 pristine acres of mixed pine and hardwood that he was harvesting for the Arkansas-Wisconsin Lumber Company. And back in the 1930s, when Carpenter Dam was built, it flooded half of his property up to the highest elevation, 210 acres. Mm-hmm. So what's remaining there, now that the lake is formed, is 210 acres along an east-to-west ridge, basically. And so from the Welcome Center out to our westernmost point is a nice, very wide, beautifully paved path of exposed aggregate that's about, let's say, a half mile back, half mile down and a half mile back. So about 1 mile there that's easy topography, easy to navigate, it's shady, you're not going up and downhill. It's a nice, pleasurable walk. On each side of the ridge, you've got different areas of the gardens as well. So on the south side, you have the Japanese garden, the Garden of the Pine Wind, and that's a little bit of elevation change there, but still paved and extremely accessible. On the north side of the ridge, you have the Children's Garden and the Hickson Nature Preserve. And so on the Nature Preserve, you have over a mile and a half of walking trail. And so plenty of trails, and a good portion of which are freshly paved. And so that's really nice.
Okay. And most of those are shady, correct?
Yes. Okay. Very few places in the garden where there's direct sunlight. We've got the sensory garden has a small hole in the canopy, but almost the rest of the garden is a shade garden. We have a lot of self-guided options. You know, if they just wanted to show up at 10 o'clock on any day and stop by the Welcome Center, we have a volunteer there ready to say, hey, let me show you this map right here. These are the easier trails. These are going to be some of the more challenging trails. Hey, you know what? There's a bridge out over here you might want to avoid if you can't do steps real easily. Mm-hmm. So we'll have other options. And we've also got options for those who want to see the grounds and can't walk at all. You know, we've got complimentary wheelchairs. We've also got golf carts, the volunteers drive for guided tours, and so other options as well.
That's wonderful. So I know we kind of talked a little bit about how I work in the mental health field, and honestly, if I just feel like doctors, anyone in mental health, should just prescribe nature, right? As something to improve your mental health. Is that something that you experience out at Garvin Gardens?
It is. It absolutely is. And just, I'm an outdoor enthusiast in general. I'm not an expert. I don't have any medical certifications or degrees. But I've witnessed it in my own personal life, from hiking, mountain biking, playing in the creek, just being outdoors. But one of the biggest ways I've seen it at Garvin Gardens is with children. Mm-hmm. Back in, in the fall of 2020, when COVID had been here for a while, but school districts were starting their first school year knowing about COVID. And they were thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to do transportation? How are we going to do eating? How are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. And I had one particular teacher and principal as well approach me about utilizing Garvin Gardens for outdoor classrooms for children. And coincidentally, Garvin Gardens had been doing research on the feasibility of having a nature-based preschool on the grounds of Garvin Woodland Gardens. And so when those questions came up, it started to kind of become apparent to everyone at the time that we don't need this huge programmatic solution right now. We just need a way to get kids outdoors. Mm-hmm. Like if one of the principals said to me, Rush, if all of my kids come back to school this year, I don't have a cafeteria big enough to feed them all in the amount of time I have and with the social distancing requirements we're going to have. So they were facing these weird logistical issues never faced before, and it kind of brought back to the forefront a question that we probably should have been looking at all along, such as, does this child need to sit in a classroom for 8 hours with the hum of a fluorescent light and the tick of a clock versus these natural sounds and these other natural sensory experiences? And what are the results of that? There are studies. I haven't read them. I didn't conduct them. But right. I've read authors that would argue, some of the special services, the increased amount of special services students are getting in school these days might be related, either correlated or caused by different nature deficits early on in childhood. And so that's one of the things I've seen as we started to bring these students out to outdoor classrooms. I saw nothing but smiles on faces. Yes, they were learning about plants, or they were doing a spelling test, whatever they're doing outdoors, but their overall demeanor improved over the semester. And so we were bringing these schools out either weekly or monthly or whatever was good for the classroom. And I'm talking specifically about a special needs class. Right, and so this is self-contained. These are students who aren't inclusion students in their classroom. And so with whatever frequency they could come out, they did. And I got nothing but positive reviews back from the teachers. And so it was just, I had read a book about it. I had heard about these studies. And then for the first time, I'm seeing nature is improving the lives of these children, the teachers. Yeah. And it's just about being in nature. It's about looking at that boulder and wondering if I can climb it or not, or looking at the slippery algae on the rock and thinking, can I navigate that? And what some of the authors that I read would argue is that all of our mental health would originally stem from our physical health, and learning those things from a childhood, such as gross and fine motor skills, core strength and proprioception and balance, just things that, if you're awkward and constantly thinking about your next step, you can't develop social skills. You can't learn the things that you have to do to interact with the children every day. And, if you can't do that, you can't navigate anything in life. And so those authors were arguing that it all starts early with early experiences in nature. And I would argue that it continues with adult experiences in nature, and that I've witnessed it both as seeing it in children and in my own life.
Yeah, I love that you saw that firsthand. That's really amazing. And I love that during COVID we were trying to find so many different options. And it's kind of sad that now, is that something that continues on?
It is. Sorry to interrupt you there, but we started with two classes from Lakeside School District. And I think this last spring we finished with 13 classes coming regularly from four different school districts. And so it may be clear, but an early goal of mine is to reach all the school districts in Garland County, at least with our special needs program. And one of the reasons they've benefited the most is because I bring them in early before the gardens open. We use the facilities before the hustle and bustle of all the crowd comes through, and we get them into the gardens and find a spot where they can enjoy their lesson or do whatever they want to do comfortably and safely. And then they have their lunch on the premises, and then they make their way back to the school at whatever time's good for them. And it's been really fun to watch. I might have been nervous at first to see how maybe some of the staff would react, you know, how having that many students in the gardens, what sort of challenges would that pose? And they've been minimal. I've really been surprised at how it's flowed so smoothly, and it makes me excited to think that in the fall we're going to have more than 13 classes, yes, and we're going to have more than four school districts. And so somebody listening to this podcast is going to say, hey, you know, I wonder if Jesseville's involved, or I wonder if Mountain Pine's involved, and they're going to call and see, and that'd be great to see that grow.
Yeah, and I know that the listeners can't see the smile on your face when you talk about that, but I can tell that that's something really close to your heart, so that's wonderful. And whenever you were talking about that, I was thinking homeschoolers. Homeschoolers can come out there at any time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so can anyone else. But I think the homeschool community would benefit from something a little more structured. Uh-huh. So if there are people out there listening, I would love to hear from homeschool parents. I found that those a little more challenging to coordinate because they aren't 100 kids in one building. You know, right. Their families all spread out. But there is just as much need for that sort of an inclusion at Garvin Gardens and programming as well. So I would love to hear from those people.
I looked at the Garvin Gardens website just kind of for my own, just to familiarize myself with everything that was going on. On your website, it says one of your goals is provide people a place of serenity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and just the word serenity, I was just like, okay, I need to go. We all need that, right? We all need to strive for is more serenity in our life.
Absolutely. Back in the early 1800s, Frederick Law Olmsted, he's known as the father of landscape architecture in the United States, and he noticed that in big cities, specifically New York City, he designed Central Park.
Oh, right.
And he said, we have no green spaces. The cities have been planned poorly. There's nothing but houses, and it's damaging. You're getting no ecosystem benefits. And he did a lot of research to contribute to the landscape architecture career sorry, for lack of a better word, the pursuit of landscape architecture.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm glad you used the word serenity, because we actually have a place at the gardens called Serenity Circle, and it's not right in the main welcome center. It's not down by the children's garden. It's along the woodland walk. You take a turn off, and you follow sort of a moss-lined pathway, and there is just a ring of benches. There's a nearby waterfall, so you can sort of hear the trickle of water. You can hear the birds, and it's a great place. We had a workshop down there on mindfulness, and it was a multi-week series where the presenter came down, and they sat and they were just observant. They would enjoy the silence. They would talk about different ways of being mindful and then try to implement them for a few minutes. And serenity is a great word to describe areas of Garvin Gardens. At least at certain times of the day, when we have the tulip extravaganza and the holiday lights, and when I'm bringing 100 second graders in, yeah. And so it's not always serene, but over 210 acres, there's usually somewhere to find some little hidden corner down by the koi pond or over here by the boat dock. There's somewhere to find if you know what you're looking for.
And I know I've taken my daughter before, and she's always been enthralled with the fairy garden area. Aren't there like fairy houses?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you been recently?
No. You know what? I guess we haven't been since COVID, unfortunately, actually.
Well, that's okay. So for folks who are familiar or are not, we had a fantastic fairy village, and it was designed by a volunteer named Jerry Lewis. And he put in countless hours constructing it, design it. He had about a 2-page backstory talking about where the fairies were from.
Right.
And but it was all made of natural materials.
Right.
And it started to decay. It started to rot. And we kept it in that area for as long as we could. But eventually, not too long ago, we had to pull it all out.
Okay.
And when we took it to storage, we discovered that a lot of it was irreparable. And so we started to recreate it. And it has now been reinstalled. So I'm glad you asked about it. But it's moved locations. It used to be right by the Garvin Pavilion, right in the core of the gardens. But we've removed it from there. We have put all new plantings in that area, changed some rock work a little bit, repaved that plaza. And the Fairy Village has now been relocated closer to the Children's Garden. So when you're en route to the Children's Garden, you'll see it wedged between two of the major pathways that lead down there. It's got a lot of new buildings, a lot of similar looks, but it's a really cool place.
Yes, we're going to have to go back out soon. Just think, talking about this and the serenity and all the wonderful things, we need to all go, right?
It is, yes, you absolutely need to come out.
Yes.
It's still cool. You can still beat the heat that's looming ahead of us.
Yeah.
And now would be a great time to come.
Now, whenever you talk about the children's garden, it's not just a garden, right? There are tree houses and lots of activities for kids to do there.
That's right. It started out as a rock garden. The original concept was, what can we build that children can't break but still enjoy? So we have these huge boulders from north central Arkansas. When you get down and see it, you're going to be amazed that they weren't just always there. It's a masterpiece that was designed by David Slauson, internationally renowned landscape architect. And so that was the foundation, this huge rock garden with a cave and a waterfall. And by the end of 2018, we had built the treehouse that you were mentioning. And that is a huge architectural wonder, designed by Moda Studios out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. Really cool. If you've never seen it, it's really hard to describe. It's almost like a snake. Or a cornucopia or a spaceship.
Right.
I know none of those things sound like tree houses, but that's kind of what it is. It's got these amazing wooden ribs that sort of curve around, and it's got a lot of representative artwork that represents a plant structure. So you have a root plaza that's done in mosaic form at the bottom that leads the water uphill towards the branch, the trunk structure, into the treehouse itself. And on the largest facade of the treehouse, you have this sort of leaf venation screen where the kids can look out. And it's just a huge metaphor for a plant.
Right.
And very cerebral way, though, that when teachers bring school groups out, almost regardless of their age level, there's a way to tie in some sort of educational metaphor there about plants and how they work and how the tree canopy exists. Really cool place. When I've been doing these field trips this spring, had a ton of kids come through, and it's got to be their favorite part of the gardens. They love the koi pond and seeing the giant fish, and they love seeing the train garden and all those things, but the children's garden is amazing. They could probably stay down there for hours if their parents can handle it.
Yeah, and even for adults, I've been there and I find it fascinating myself, right? It's big enough that we can walk through that too. And
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Easy to navigate, easy to keep an eye on the kids. We just had an addition of 6 or 7 bronze sculptures that are really just fascinating. So that whole area is coming together wonderfully and starting to become the wondrous idea that started so many years ago from the original plan.
Can you, are there any other changes in the future that you could give us a secret knowledge about here that may be coming?
Well, you know, maybe not so much in the children's garden, but it's been 2 or 3 years since we've had a big holiday lights show.
True, yes.
And so for those of you who are familiar with the holiday lights show, it will be hopefully returning in a form that we're all familiar with. Everyone at the gardens is abuzz with this year's plan. We've had a gentleman come back to help us with it. His name is James Scallion. He is the godfather of our holiday lights display. And what he's planning for this year is amazing. So we're hoping for the return of normalcy and the return of our epic light show. We've done 5 million lights before, and you know we can't do a light show without trying to do something bigger and better than the time before. So Fingers crossed, we're all hoping for a huge holiday lights display this year. And so keep your eyes peeled on the website and look for some marketing releases about that.
Yes, I know we've all missed it. We're ready for that to be back for sure. All right, so tell me a little about if someone wanted to attend one of these groups, do you have to be a member? Can you come and pay for and be at one class to try it out? How does that work?
Good question. So let's think about the ones we have. The health walks. Health walks can be joined by anybody. You can either have a membership or you can pay your daily admission. It does require one of the two. And daily admission for adults is $20. With the Tai Chi class, that is outside of the gardens proper, and it's also organized by the Oaklawn Center on Aging. It's a free class regardless of your membership status. You don't have to be an Oaklawn member or a Garvin Woodland Gardens member, but they would need to contact Oaklawn Center on Aging and ask for Kathy Packard to get on the registration list, make sure they're on her radar, but that's free to all people who want to come to it. Then the yoga classes, as we're finishing up the spring series, those are $20 for non-members, free for members. And so that in itself has been one of the huge perks of our membership, because for just one annual membership, in the last fiscal year, we scheduled 12 yoga classes.
Right.
And so that's if you attended a few of those, one day to the tulips, one day to the holiday lights, you may have paid for your membership.
And the membership is how much?
Annual memberships are $65 for one person, one adult, or $75 for two adults, and then any number of kids adds $25 to the membership.
Okay.
And so it's right now extremely valuable. We recently, the price in April increased to $20 for adult, but the membership prices have stayed the same.
That is a bargain.
It really is a bargain, especially if you like yoga and any of the health and wellness classes, and then tulips and holiday lights. It's almost a no-brainer.
And what is the price for Serenity? Right, it's priceless.
It is priceless.
Yes,
I've got to admit, one of the huge benefits of working at the gardens is if after 3 or 4 hours of plugging away at a computer, I can walk in the gardens. I can go down a Serenity circle. I can clear my head. Yes. And be in nature very quickly, and that's extremely valuable.
Yeah, and I can say for me, as working in mental health, like I said, I think a takeaway that someone could take from this, if you're thinking about how can I improve my health in a simple way, it would be get your membership at Garvin Woodland Gardens and go out there and walk every day. And your mental health is going to be better. Your physical health is going to be better. And we can get to that place of serenity for sure. But I did want to clarify the daily walks. If you have a membership, those are free, right?
That's right.
Okay. So basically all the groups are free with membership. And then you would have to pay the daily rate if you wanted to come in just once and try that.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So you... tell me a little about the classes that you have available.
Sure. So we have frequent group health walks. Those are on Mondays at 10:15. We'll be starting back up with those sometime in the fall, September. Actually, the health walks are going to be starting the Monday after Labor Day on September 12th. So we'll get back up with those. And those are fantastic. They're led by a longtime volunteer and donor named Sharon Turrentine. Fantastic person. She is an extremely upbeat personality. She is also extremely generous in spirit and just loves leading folks on group health walks. And she leads a very brisk, it's about 52 to 55 minutes starting at 10:15, 3 miles. And I'm going to say she just about always gets in 3 miles. She navigates all the trails. She doesn't just stick to the easy ones either. So folks looking to get their heart rate up, but in a really upbeat atmosphere, I highly recommend the health walks. Those are Mondays at 10:15 a.m., and we're getting started back with those September 12th. Other than that, we've got Tai Chi and yoga. Tai Chi has been on Thursdays, and I don't have the exact start date for the fall, but we have partnered with the Oaklawn Center on Aging to deliver these Tai Chi classes. They're typically on Thursdays at the amphitheater. And when we have a more certain date, we'll post that on our website. And then yoga is on select Saturdays. We try to do those yoga classes about 2 times a month. And those are at 10:30 a.m. at the amphitheater. I've been partnering with a registered yoga teacher, Diana Isanu, and she's been delivering a one-hour yoga class for all levels. It's usually about 50 minutes of yoga followed by a 10-minute guided meditation. And it's also at Klipsch Amphitheater, which is a beautifully serene place, and also a little more private than the gardens proper. And so yoga classes and Tai Chi are held out in a place where you can be confident that it's only folks out there who are participating in the classes. They're an extremely welcoming bunch, all of these are. And so, yeah, that's kind of the classes we have going on, at least in a health and wellness perspective.
And those will start back in the fall, taking a break for our hottest time here in Arkansas, which is understandable. Let's tell all of our listeners how they can contact you, email you, or get more information about everything that's going on at Garland Woodland Gardens.
Sure. You can start on our website, which is garvangardens.org. That's G-A-R-V-A-N gardens.org. We're actually kind of in between websites, and so if you get there and you can't find what you want, you can call or email me directly. And my email address is Fentress, F as in Frank, E-N-T-R-E-S-S at uark.edu. And my office line is 501-262-9613. I'd be happy to answer any questions, health and wellness, or other related. If I know the answer, I'll be happy to provide it. And if not, I can pass you along to someone who does. But we'd love to get your questions answered and get you out enjoying the nature at Garvin Gardens.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. Rush, appreciate you being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs. Tune in next Friday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy. Look for new episodes every Friday on hotsr.com/podcast.